You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network, where our members share stories of transformation and success. So when choosing a member to be Spotlight featured on my show, I'm often looking for people, you know, the rags to riches type, you know, the ones with who's had just this major transformation, this incredible story of survival. Well, my guest today grew up actually privileged. She had a father who was wealthy. He had his own empire. And then now she actually boasts of having her own empires and spends her business is all about helping others create their own empire. But she has a very unique childhood, and I just wanted to share that with you because, you know, just what sometimes when you, I always say this, everybody has a story. When you see somebody and you think they've got everything going for them and everything is just perfect and yours isn't, right? Your life just sucks compared to them. Really, there's usually a story and a lot more to it. So please welcome my member spotlight of the week, Elena Rehrig. Elena, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Phyllis, for having me. Super excited to have this opportunity.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And, you know, it's really interesting. Most adolescents grow up spending their time going to a mall, putting on makeup behind their parents' back, you know, talking for hours on end to their girlfriends. But you didn't have that kind of childhood. So tell us, what was your childhood like?
Well, first off, when I was 1 year old, my parents got divorced and they each remarried other people. Well, my mom remarried my ex-stepdad who had one son, and my dad married a lady who had four sons. And so with my two real brothers, I first off grew up in a home with seven brothers and I was the second youngest. So I did not know how to be a girl. I'll tell you that. I mean, there's even a picture of me at the beach in swim shorts. So that was a struggle. And it comes to eWomen and even where I'm at connecting and networking with other women, it's amazing to me to be able to have relationships with women now because I didn't have that in my childhood. Now, when I turned 9, my parents remarried each other. So it was, yeah. So they divorced before I ever even knew better. So to have a family that's back together with two brothers, a mom and a dad, it was great. You know, we were very close and everything was good. Dad was a very successful entrepreneur, owned a large company, made it huge in network marketing, was earning 13 grand a week, you know, just in his network marketing business. It was nice. Well, but when I turned 12 years old is where I always say entrepreneurship chose me. I did not choose it. My parents never looked at our report cards to care. You know, it was like, hey, check it out, look. And they're like, oh, that's great. But they didn't care what was on there. And I never understood that because I have friends getting grounded for stuff, you know, for bad grades. Well, my dad saw something else that a different path he wanted me to take. He didn't want me to follow what we would call the world system, you know, go to college, get your 9-to-5 and work for 40 years. So at the age of 12, he started paying me to read books. And this was different because I did get what I wanted most of the time. If I wanted a new shirt at the mall, I got it. You know, we went out to eat a lot. We took vacations a lot. It was a lot different. And I was known as the rich kid in school, which one set me apart, not in a good way, you know, but then when I turned 12, it was almost like I got cut off. You know, most people get cut off about 18 years old. Well, for me, it was 12. It was, if you want that shirt at the mall, you're going to earn it. You're going to read this book. You're going to do this homework. You're going to take this personality test. You know, you're going to learn. And so I remember the first book my dad gave me, it was more like a booklet. And it was a business book of some sort. And I just remember I could not understand one sentence in that book. I thought my dad was a complete moron. Why are you doing this to me? I remember going to him with an attitude, after probably the first page saying, I just don't know why you're doing this. This is stupid. I don't even know what this means. I don't know what an LLC is or, you know, all this stuff. Who cares at 12, you know? I want to go watch TV. And he also, though, he gave me a highlighter and a pen. And so I had to highlight stuff in it. So I remember trying to find something in there that I could grasp that would be worthy of highlighting. And then the pen was, if I had a question or provoked a thought, I could write in the margins of the book. But I also had to keep a notebook that almost was like a book report of every book that I read. So a book, like the first one he gave me, the booklet, I might have gotten $20, which was a lot back then. And if it was a bigger book, it would go all the way up to $50. So it just depends, you know, what I was reading. But what that did for me, one, the entrepreneurship, of course, that shows in my life, but trying to relate to other 12-year-olds, I very quickly, I mean, within a year, I was grasping these books. And my favorite part of growing up was going out to dinner with my parents' friends and being able to have a conversation with them about business and about life. And just, I had no idea. So here I was not knowing how to be a woman or a girl and not knowing how to even act my age. So it really created a lot of hardships and a lot of loneliness, you know, just not really getting it. And
So yeah. you weren't being invited to the parties then?
No. You know what actually happened is during the school year, I was pretty much alone in my books and doing my own thing. But when summertime came, because we had a pool and the fun house and dad always paid for everything. So it was always weird in the summertime, all the kids from school would come around and then they would want to come over and hang out and have campfires. So summertime was good. But as soon as school started, everybody quit being my friend again. And so, and that was hard, but every year, every summer I allowed it to happen because it was that short while I could have friends. So that was a hard part.
Yeah. And when you, and really hard, I mean, there was, I mean that your adolescence and your teenage years, that is just a critical time. And those, it's so interesting that those kids who had a good social life or were active in school, they could look back on high school and think it was great. And those who were who had a social life that was not great and, or, you know, were teased or any of that, it was horror. I mean, it's like, it's rarely in the middle. It's always, it's like one way or another. And so, you know, there are some adults looking at this, of course, in retrospect, on the outside, you look like this put together, beautiful, smart, now you're a, you know, you have your own business. And some adults, you know, people listening or watching might say, well, good for your parents. That was good that they did that. But that's really hard for an adolescent. And there was even a point you say that you tried to commit suicide. Was that during your teenage years?
I didn't necessarily try, but I contemplated it all the time. Yes. And then the farthest it got, I remember there was an island in our kitchen. And it had on the one side of the island was three cupboards. And one of those cupboards is where all the medication and stuff like that was. And the closest I got was sitting by that cupboard facing the refrigerator and having that cupboard open and just wishing I had the guts to do it. And it was just an everyday battle. And it I was raised in a Christian home. And so I don't believe this today. But back then, the way I was raised in the church I was raised in at the time, it was if you commit suicide, it's the ultimate sin and you're going to hell. So it was weighing which hell would be worse. And so I never actually did it, but obviously.
What was it that brought you to the brink?
I think just loneliness and going through life never having a true friend. Like somebody who I could really count on through anything. When someone's your friend 1 minute or for a season, like a summer, and then all of a sudden you're disposable to them. One of the things I teach is conditioning, why our brains are conditioned the way that they are. And it's really affected me so much in my adult life because I have lived my life disposing people. I hop from boyfriend to boyfriend from then when I got older and could have friends, I grew tired of them or they did something. I never stuck around to solve problems. I ran from everything. And So my conditioning was, nobody's a true friend. I can't trust anybody. So there's trust issues. So the personal development side for me is one of my favorite things. I love personal development. And when my dad gave me a Joyce Meyer's book at such a young age, probably around 13 or 14, I think I've read every one of her books. She is one of my favorite. I could really grasp onto her story and her success, everything about her. But it really, just everything with the struggle with relationships. I mean, that's been my hardest thing. I find in my mid 30s now, I like I said, being able to have all these women who support me and do business with me, and almost every one of my clients, we become friends. You know, we end up talking on the phone and sharing our personal life. So my trust is opening up and I'm finding my way with women, but it's taken me over 30 years of my life to get there.
As you rose to success, and we're going to learn about your success shortly, but as you rose to success and creating your own empires, I say that with a plural, people resented you for it. And then they got pretty ugly too.
Well, what happened, because my dad was really big in network marketing, and my mom did a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, the paperwork and that kind of stuff. My dad was a speaker and the face more. But when I turned 18, it's really all we knew. We saw dad making great money at it. And by the time I turned 18, I joined the network. My brothers were already joined because they were older than me. And then before you know it, dad was overbooked with speaking engagements and said, "Hey, Lena, can you go and speak?" And so I would fill in for him. So all throughout my 20s, I found myself traveling all over the nation, speaking, selling products for network marketing companies. And so I was doing what I was supposed to do, right? Following the system, that system. Well, when I was in just about turning 30, there's a song by, I believe it's Tim McGraw. He says, "My next 30 years will be the best years of my life." And that song, I've always loved it since it came out back when I was a kid. And when I was turning 30, it hit me. Like, what am I doing? And whose life am I living? I hate network marketing. Just to let you know, I absolutely hate network marketing. I always hated it, but I was good at it. And I became number one in the company. So I was good at it, but it didn't mean I liked it. And I didn't like my life. Well, I was speaking at a conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and the motivational speaker for the conference had flight issues and couldn't come. And the owner of the company said, "Elena, can you do a motivational speech?" And I was like, "Sure. Like, this is my Joyce Meyer's moment, you know?" So I got up there, and from that day, I said, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I walked away from the network marketing altogether, being number one in everything. I said, I don't care about the money. I don't care about any of it. My next 30 years, I'm going to build my own empire and stop building other people's empires.
All right.
Because ultimately, that's what I was doing.
All right. And we're going to take a short break, Elena, and we're going to find out when we come back what those empires are and how you're helping others build theirs. So take a moment and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity. If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE, chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. I'm Phyllis Smith. So my guest today, Elena Rarig, she is a motivational speaker, author, a coach. She's the founder of Elena Rarig Transformation. Transform. Is it transformation or transform? Where she offers programs and academies to teach others how to do what she does. So first of all, correct me. Is it Elena Rarig Transform?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So we just heard that you were raised with in this privileged home with a father who was a genius in network marketing, made up to $13,000 a week, but it was a very lonely childhood. And because he had you reading all these books about entrepreneurship and you were working in his office and you couldn't relate to other kids. And so it was lonely, it was difficult, and then you transformed. What was that? Was it the Joyce Meyer book that where it transformed you? Like, what was that moment when you decided to take matters into your own hands?
Well, I knew once I, at a young age, probably around 13, 14, when I first got a hold of Joyce Meyer's books and really started just reading all her stuff. And I mean, we didn't watch regular TV in our house either. We watched TV 44, Rush Limbaugh, and Joyce Meyer's programs. And I just knew in my spirit that I'm going to be the next Joyce Meyers. I'm going to do what she does, and I'm going to write books. And so my career began with the personal development aspect of everything. And so when I turned 30 is when I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I've always known it's what I was supposed to do, but I got sidetracked. I let everyone else make my decisions. And so I started with 4 different personal development programs that I created. And those got picked up in our local prison and in the high school. And so I was going to the prison, teaching the programs. I was writing my books and I was being very successful in that. And a lot of people close to me didn't like that because one, I wasn't doing what I always have done, that they knew me as this person. And so that got really hard. People definitely mocked me, made fun of me, said I'm trying to tell people how to live their life. And there was more suicidal moments there because I thought, I remember one time laying on my bed and staring at the ceiling, and I held my breath as long as I could and literally thought, this must be what it feels like to be dead. I mean, here I am 30 and I still have nobody that I can trust or count on. My dad had always been there for me. I will say that my dad never left my side. He always encouraged me and he was always a phone call away. So perhaps it was that I knew I had one person. But as I became more successful, it's like the enemy just wants to attack more and more when it came to personal development. But then other people were saying, Elena, how did you develop that program? How are you getting the speaking engagements? How are you writing books and publishing them? And so it started with, well, I can show you how. But then more people kept coming and more people. And before you know it, I opened up Outer Publishing New York and I developed all the academies. And so what I say is, you know, when it comes to coaching or consulting, I view myself more of a consultant, more than a coach. I don't like one-on-one coaching and I don't do that. But when it comes to, I have what we call a 3A objective. Okay. So my personal development programs, that's the awareness. It's like, become aware of who you're acting as, determine who you want to be and be that person. So awareness is your first step. And then there's achievement. All right, now you have focus and you know you want to achieve, let's achieve it. And then the third one is autonomy, saying, okay, now I did my job and you don't need me anymore. And so everything that I have created has stuck to that 3A objective. So the awareness part is one of my programs. The achievement part is another one of the programs. And the autonomy part then is all 8 academies that we've developed. I've developed 7 and one of my clients developed the 8th one. And so I bought it from him so that I can sell it.
So let me ask you, so the first two, is that a one-on-one coaching with you? And then the other part are these online programs?
The academies? Everything is done online. So all my personal development programs are online and all 8 academies. So we have a membership website. They log in and they take each course. And I tell people it's like a 4-year college degree. You know, you cannot be an overnight success. And somebody who wants to write a book, they think that all they have to do is write a book. But you have to learn how to market that book, talk about that book, and there's so much more. So it's pretty much, it got built because I took somebody through a personal development program. And then they came out and said, oh my gosh, I know my purpose and this is what I want to do. Well, then I'm not going to stop there. Let me help you with that next step. And so all the academies got built based on the needs of my clients. Mm-hmm. So we're still building. I still have three more right now I'm building on the side. So we just keep going. So as I find my goal is to meet my clients' needs.
Yeah. So. You know, I'm reading a book now by the founder of ClickFunnels. And it's a book about expert secrets is what it's called. And his name is Russ Branson. And he talks about becoming an expert. Find what it is you're an expert at. You don't need, I mean, he even says that he barely made it through high school. You know, has no real credentials except that he knows how to create programs and he knows how to sell them. The whole idea is that find your passion. Or find something you're good at. You don't even have to be that passionate about. And you become an expert in your field. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not as simple as that. Like you say, you know, okay, here's your expertise. Now, what are you going to do with it? So what I love that, you know, that whole idea is, you know, first, and what I like about what you're talking about is you first have to really dive into yourself and know yourself first. So, and you, as you say, entrepreneurship, it found you. You didn't find it. So you're a natural born entrepreneur. And as an entrepreneur, the trait, that characteristic of the ideas person of, like you said, it never ends. You have three other, you know, academies on the side that you're putting together and it won't ever end. So what would you say then, So I just want to define then. You have this Elaine Rarig Transform, and then mm-hmm. you also have publishing. Am I correct? Are those the two empires that you're talking about?
That is correct, yes.
And what, in your mind, constitutes an empire? Is it about numbers? What is it about for you?
Okay, I'm going to answer that in just a second, but you brought up Branson, and I did not tell anybody this, but I am a high school dropout.
Yes.
So that's how much my parents did not care. I had enough of the kids. I'm like, I just don't want to go back. And they're like, okay, then don't stay on the entrepreneur track. So wanted to bring that up. So what constitutes an empire? Well, if we look at, if I was to ask an audience of 10,000 people, the entire room will raise their hand. Why did you become an entrepreneur? Ultimately, you want more time. And time is an acronym that I've created. So you want time, impact, money, and excitement. Those are the four basic things that we want. Well, what happens is people go into business and they have less of all of those. They have less time, less impact because they're frustrated and struggling. And so if you're frustrated and struggling, you're not going to be able to impact anybody. You have less money because you're spending rather than investing, and you're spending more than you're making. And so of course you don't have any excitement. You know, if you have a good day in business, you might be excited for a moment, but the next day you're right back. So a true empire, you are going to get those things. You're not going to be a small business. What I say about it, not be a small business in a small town, or a small business, like a small band in a small town, never hitting the big stage. So your empire is getting to a place of residuals. You know, when I built these network marketing companies, all I had to do was go and speak. I built a solid team who grew the business and I made money. Whether I was on vacation or not, I was getting that same money over and over again. So I had all the time, impact, money, and excitement that I could ever want, except the fact I wasn't fulfilling my purpose. So that's what the problem was. So to find those four things in my passion and my purpose, that is your empire. That's saying, you know what, I can go down to Hilton Head and stay with my brother for 10 days and tell all my clients, hey, you're on your own with the membership academy because I'm taking 10 days off and I'm still making money. And so it's being able to choose your life, choose what you do every day. And, you know, I'm to a point, if I don't want to do it, I don't do it. You know, there's speakers who sell their books in the back of the room. If I don't feel like loading a van up full of books and dragging them in and sitting at a table, I'm not going to do it because I would rather not do it because I don't want to, rather than make 10 or 15 bucks off of a book sale. You know, if the people want to buy my books, go online. you know where to find them. You know, so these are things like, what are you doing in business because you think you have to, because you want to make $10 or $15 here or there, when there's residuals? I can look at any one of my clients' business and I can show them where their residual is. The thing is they're focused on earning that dollar in a moment rather than making a residual so you can relax and enjoy your life.
So what would you say just to get people started? They're hearing you. It sounds very yummy, I have to say. It sounds very yummy to be able to, you know, be able to go to Hilton Head and spend 10 days and hang out and play golf and swim and or tennis or whatever it is you do, hike.
Golf.
And not worry about where your next dime has come from. It sounds really, really yummy. But a lot of so it sounds to me the way to do that is through creating your own online programs. Am I correct? So that, or a membership or something like that.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and give away a really big secret for everybody that they can go and implement tomorrow.
Okay.
And of course it takes time to build. But first off, yes, you want to create websites are for information. And membership websites are for residuals, okay? You create the content one time and you sell it over and over and over again. So one of the things that we do for our clients is we have the Membership Website Builder Academy, to where what I do with my membership website, I actually have a clone of it and we connect it to my client's URL. And so all they have to do is copy and paste their content from mine. So they don't have to spend thousands of dollars on trying to figure out how to build a membership website, because once I went through it, I thought, oh my gosh, my members have to do this and they're going to hate me. So I developed that. But the secret that I will give people right now that they could start seeing a residual immediately is I want you to think about all the things you're putting out on social media on your business page, and you're doing all of it for free. And almost every entrepreneur I talk to, they absolutely hate trying to figure out Facebook and what to post every day and how to do it. Well, if you're going to give away free content, I understand we have to do that to entice people and get people interested. But what I do is I have a secret Facebook group where I put my clients. It's only $35 a month. And this is where whatever I feel like teaching, or if a client says, hey, I need to know this about how to create a fee schedule for my public speaking fees. Okay, well, I'll do a video on that on Monday. You know, I do video conferences every week. I do Facebook Live in there every week. Nobody can see it but us members. But I want you to think about, it's the same content I would put on my public page, but they're getting more what I call meat and potatoes. But if I have 100 members paying $35 a month, that's $3,500 a month that I'm making every month for nothing, because it's $35 a month with a 1-year commitment. And then it's an automatic renewal. So at the end of the year, if they don't stop it, it pushes them into that next year. And they're told this up front. And most people just stick with it. So you know it's just going to keep rolling over. Now I want you to think, when you get 1,000 members, that's $35,000 a month residual you're making off of running a Facebook page that you're already doing for free. Why not step it up another level?
Wow. So that's actually brilliant and not hard. You're still providing content, but is it more what they ask for and then you'll give it to them? So you say, yeah, okay, that, like you just described, somebody said, I'd like to learn this. And you're like, okay, I'll get something to you on Monday. What if nobody asks? What if it's just conversation? Or I guess it doesn't matter. It's just that concept of that private group. Is that correct?
Well, when there's this many members, somebody's always asking for something. But there have been times, you know, especially in the growth, there's a growth state where you have 10, 20 members and you know, they're learning what you're teaching and they're applying it. So they're not real active. So you're going to find times that nobody's active. So during that time, you pick the topic. You know, I have 8 academies and each academy has probably 20 videos or more. And plus I give away PDFs and documents and different websites you need to use and different things. The sky's the limit. And then I have all my personal development. And so I'll teach either, because the thing is, if your personal life suffers, your business suffers. And if your business suffers, your personal life suffers. So it's really important. So it's why I do both, because we have to keep you all together in one piece, and it can be difficult. And so it is whatever, if I pick a topic or they pick a topic, just whatever they want.
It's simple. It sounds simple, but let's put it this way. You've had to create all those videos and you had to create all those PDFs. And I want to make it very clear that you're the bonus. I mean, at the end of the day, you're earning some, you have an empire. You're collecting, you have money and your residuals, but you're also connecting with people. And I find it interesting on a very psychological level for someone who grew up very lonely. You're now creating this empire that actually allows people to come to you to want a piece of you. Yes. So I've got to believe that these things happen for a reason. And at the end of the day, you're still offering them self-development and growth and personal and business growth. And so I think it's important to say that sometimes people might hear, it's like, yeah, we can do this and you're going to just, and you can go on vacation, you can make money and that's fabulous. But isn't it great to be able to have an empire and do what you love and make other, change other people's lives in a better way? And that is what you're doing.
Yeah. The impact is why I do what I do. You know, money's not going to make you happy. The thing that money does is allows me to bless people. So I give something away almost every week. I have one of those big golden spinners where everybody's, all my members' names go in and we spin, and I give away like things like this microphone. We're giving a laptop away next week, you know, so we're always giving back, and that is my excitement. I love that. I love when my client says, I can't do Facebook Live because I don't have a computer. Okay, well, I'll buy you a laptop, or, you know, so I'm making sure my clients get what they need. Obviously it's the clients that are getting what they need or the clients that are being active and applying what they're learning. So it's a reward. But it is the impact that I love the most. And I love that I teach people things that they're an expert in something that I need. Like there is one who, rogue relationships. She helps with marriages. Well, I'm married with 4 children, so I don't care who you are. There's going to be times of in struggle. So, you know, I get to hire my clients back, and they get to impact my life back. And we do become friends. I mean, I just went out of town all day today just to visit a client, and we went to a coffee shop and we didn't talk business at all. You know, she is becoming a friend of mine, and she's, you know, she's old enough to be my mother. So I love those connections. I love the fact that I'm learning how to relate to women and I have friends. Yes. It is very nice.
Well, you deserve it. And I just want to say thank you so much. And if you want to connect with Elena Rarig, you can at, on her website at Elena Rarig, and that is at Elena RarigTransform.com. And that's ELENA, and Rarig is RARIG. transform.com, and you can find her there and find everything that she offers. Elena, thank you so much for telling us your story and doing such great work out there and teaching us how we can do great work and we can make some money and have some fun at the same time.
Yes. Can I take one more second? On my website, there's a tab that says schedule. And that's my calendar. If anybody wants to talk to me, it's free. And the other thing that I wanted to tell them, if you're going to do the membership through a secret group on Facebook, PayPal has a button that you can create for $35, or you set the price amount. $35 is a sweet spot though. So try to stick with that price, but it is a button that will automatically charge them every month. So that's how you get the automatic setup.
So that's what people could do right now. You can start your Facebook, your private Facebook page, go through PayPal, and you yourself can begin your empire today.
With the click of a PayPal button. Yep.
I love it. So thank you so much, Elena, for sharing your wisdom and your story with us. And if you have a really interesting, compelling story, it could be rags to riches or just kind of quirky, like out of the box kind of thing like Elena, please apply to be a guest on my show. You have to be a member of eWomen Network. And to do that, you just go to, it is ewn.news/EWN Member Spotlight. Try that, and I'd love to hear about you and learn about your story. Phyllis Smith signing out. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. This is the EWN Podcast Network.